First Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, that though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Look down the chapter, please, at verse number 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now turn over to chapter 3, please. Chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste or your pure conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now turn over to chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now that's all I have in mind to read. What I would like to speak for a little while upon are a number of things seen in this epistle which are eternal in duration. Things that will never wear out. I'm not proposing to set forth to you anything that's new from the epistle, because I know men that have written from this epistle and men that have preached from it have oft times pointed out the very things that I've read about tonight. But Peter does speak in the second epistle of stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You know, some of us had the privilege on many an occasion of listening to the late Mr. Hawthorne Bailey. I don't know how many times I heard him preach from Romans chapter 6. It must have been literally dozens of times in my life's experience that I listened to him preaching, or if he didn't preach from it, he at least referred to it. And I don't think that I ever heard Mr. Bailey preach from Romans 6 that he wasn't fresh. It's not that he was going over something new, but he was always forcefully bringing home to our minds the very practical teaching of that chapter relative to our baptism. It's very needful in our experiences as Christians that we should be constantly reminded of the simple and plain and precious truths of the Word of God. You see, we are very leaky vessels, and we are slow at times to take in, even though we hear it so often. Now, I want tonight to point out from these passages a number of things which I have said are seen as being durable for eternity. First of all, I want you to think of that inheritance to which we have been begotten. Now, if what our brother has said before us from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 concerning the apostle, and we certainly agree with what he says, that Paul is not thinking of heaven in the opening verses of that chapter, he's thinking of his new body, the building from God. But there's no doubt whatever that when Peter is speaking of the inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, he's not thinking of his new body. He's thinking of heaven itself. He's thinking of that destiny to which the saints are going. And this is something to which we have been begotten. For that's what he tells us in the previous verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. As to its substance, it's incorruptible. It will never, never decay or perish. As to its purity in the verse, you will see that it's undefiled. And then as to its beauty, we see that it will never fade away. You know, dear saints, we have, in the mercy of God, been brought through another year, and as we look back upon it, we're deeply thankful to God for His mercy. But mind you, for many it has been a very sad year. I was talking to a person this morning, and his heart was very heavy. As he looked back over the past year, it has been a very sad, dark year for him. And that has been the case with many. You know, all around us in this world, we can see nothing but that which reminds us of a fallen creation. There's everything to dishearten and to discourage. There's everything to remind us that we're just in a passing world. We go to the hospital. We go to the graveyard. We look at the grey hairs and we look at the furrowed brows. And we think of all the disease and the decay that's on every hand. What does it all remind us of? That we're in a fallen world. A world that's stamped with ruin. A world that has been ruined by sin. Oh, isn't it great tonight, dear saints, as we look out into another year in the will of God, that we're not so much looking forward to what the year is going to bring for us, because we couldn't plan a day ahead. But we can think about this that Peter writes of, this inheritance that is incorruptible and that fadeth not away and is reserved in heaven for us. That is to say, there's not the least shadow of doubt that there is such a place to which we are going. It's reserved in heaven for us. And then in the next verse, we can see that Peter has no doubt in his mind that we're going to be in the inheritance. For he says, who are kept by the power of God. That is, the inheritance is reserved for us. And on the other hand, we are reserved for the inheritance. We're kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And I think that Peter, of course, in this thought of salvation in this verse, he's not only thinking of the initial thing, that which we already have experienced, or is he thinking of that present salvation that we experience day after day, but he's thinking of that great final salvation. Oh, when the Lord comes, and when he comes in manifested glory, we are going to enter into it in all its fullness, so that we are kept by the power of God. Is it not wonderful to look over a company like this tonight? Some in this meeting on the way to heaven, 30, 40, 50, perhaps 60 years. Mind you, that's a wonder of divine grace. The power of God operative in a man's life for almost a half century, or even over half a century. Some of us at the moment know a person in hospital, and she's on the way to heaven well over 70 years. Oh, dear saints of God, that's a marvel of divine grace, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. You know, when we put our trust in Christ for the first time in life's experience, it was with a trembling spirit, and we hadn't the least idea in our minds all that was involved in the wonder of that one act of faith. And yet from that moment until now, we have been experiencing the mighty power of God in our souls, that which keeps us and keeps us in view of the inheritance. And says the writer, oh, here's an inheritance to which we are going. Not like Canaan, that Israel was brought to, but it's incorruptible. It will never decay. Never decay. Oh, dear saints, heaven will be a wonderful place. And of course, it's going to be wonderful because of the person that we're going to see in it. For it's Christ that will make heaven for the saints. And it's the saints that will make heaven for Christ. And this wonderful inheritance is where Christ is. That's where we are going. Oh, I wonder, could we lift our hearts tonight and lift our minds tonight as we come to the close of another year and fix our gaze upon those sights which are eternal and think of this inheritance that will never decay. And you notice that in the same chapter, the apostle is thinking of the believer's faith. And he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. That is, he thinks of gold as the most durable of metals, and perhaps the most precious of metals. And just as the gold is put into the fire to bring out its purity, and to bring it out in all its brightness, so the writer would remind these dear saints, because we do well to keep in mind when reading through 1 Peter, that he's writing to saints that were suffering. And that's one of the prominent thoughts right through the letter. Saints passing through the fire of affliction. Saints in the crucible. And he wants them to be assured of this, that the trial of their faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, will be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What would that mean, dear saints? I believe that it would teach us this, that we're not only going to be rewarded for service. That will certainly be true. At the judgment seat of Christ that we've been reminded about, we're going to be rewarded for service. But I believe that we're going to be rewarded for faith. You remember when James is writing, he speaks of the man that is tried with manifold temptations or manifold trials. And James tells us that he's going to receive a crown of life. That feareth not away. And here is Peter almost giving us the very same thought, that the trial of your faith may be found unto praise. Oh, we're going to hear the well done from our blessed Lord. Many a saint of God that has had to pass through the fire of persecution, those dear men that were burned at the stake, those men whose bodies were torn asunder, many who were put upon the rack and their bodies stretched to death. Oh, history is dark. Someone has said the annals of history are like the annals of hell. The history of the world is dark flat with of what men have done to God's dear saints. Ah, but isn't it great to know that that trial of faith is going to have praise, honor, and glory in our coming day. And I want you to think in the same chapter that Peter is speaking about something else that is incorruptible. He's speaking about the Word of God. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Peter would show us from these verses that the Word of God is that instrument that God uses in the bringing about of the new birth. It's the seed that brings about the new birth. And he says it's the incorruptible seed. It's the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, here's something, dear saints, that's durable. You know, the Bible has stood a lot of preaching, hasn't it? The gospel that we preach to sinners, it has been preached right down the ages. And thank God it's still being preached. And it never gets stale. And the Word of God never runs out. Oh no, says Peter, it's the incorruptible seed that endureth forever. Oh, should this not encourage us tonight to keep up preaching from the plain, simple Word of God? Let us keep to this good old authorized version of it. Because there's not a version yet that has been brought out can improve on it. And let us seek, dear saints of God, in our preaching, whether it be to the young in Sunday school, or whether it be in the open air, or whether it be preaching in gospel halls or barns or tents. Oh, let us see to it that we keep plenty of the Word of God before the people. Because anything that we would say upon it could never improve what the Word of God itself states. It's the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Someone asked Mr. Spurgeon on one occasion, could he explain why that his preaching was so successful? Oh, says Mr. Spurgeon, the only answer I would have to that would be that I keep quoting plenty of the Word of God in my preaching. Oh, Mr. Spurgeon knew too much as to put anything in its place. Mind you, dear saints of God, at times we may not see the fruit we would like to see when we're preaching. And we may not see the results that we would like to see. But there's one thing we are sure of. That the Word of God, dear saints, is not bound. And when we preach it and preach it and preach it, God can use it. And God can cause the seed to germinate and produce a harvest in His own good time. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. We don't need any of the modern innovations. We don't need anything to try and embellish or try and improve the plain Word of God that we have in our hands. No, says Peter, it's the incorruptible seed. And it's that which brings about the new birth. Now I want you to think of what we have in chapter 3. You notice that here is Peter speaking to wives, enjoining upon them to be in subjection to their own husbands. Now, this passage, of course, does not suggest for a moment that there is anything in Peter's mind of the unequal yoke. He's envisaging here a saved wife who has an unsaved husband. But he's not suggesting for a moment that she, as a saved woman, married him when he was unsaved. That's not what the passage is showing. I think that what Peter has in mind is a woman or a wife that has got saved since the day of marriage. And she has an unsaved husband, and he's not easy to win. You'll notice how it's put in the passage, that if any obey not the word, that is, he's not prepared to obey the word that she obeyed, which resulted in her salvation. How is she going to win her husband? Well, now Peter gives us the recipe. He says, while they behold your chaste conversation, or your pure conversation, coupled with fear. And then he says, whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel. But he says, let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Here is the advice that Peter gives to the saved wife. To be in subjection to her husband, but at the same time, to so live before him by her godly deportment, and by her dress, and by her words. Oh, here is moral character coming out. And Peter wants us to learn that this is something that when it's formed in a person in time, it's going to last to all eternity. It's something that is incorruptible. It's durable in its substance. Oh, dear saints, God wants us to set the fashion. He wants you, sisters, to set the fashion. But it's not the fashion of the world he wants you to set. And it's not the fashion of London or the fashion of Paris. No, it's the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You know, this would be a good word not only for our sisters, but for us all. This is the moral quality, the moral characteristics that God wants to produce in his people. Something, dear saints of God, that is going to be of lasting duration. It is incorruptible. You know, we're living in a day when I do feel that young Christians would need more instruction along this line. An instruction given to them in a way that they would take it not from the men that speak, but take it from the Bible. You see, dear saints of God, the Word of God shows us that what God is more concerned about is our moral character and the inward man of the heart than he is about outward adornment. The Bible doesn't give license for a sister to cut her hair or even to bob her hair. No, says Peter, he says, not the outward adorning of these things, but that which is, let it be the hidden man of the heart. And then he brings in the example of Sarah. And he speaks of Sarah as being a godly woman. A godly woman. Wherein was her godliness manifested? In the book of Genesis, chapter 18. It was in this that she subjected herself to her husband. And the great theme of these middle chapters in Peter is the thought of submission and subjection the one to the other. And he brings it now in chapter 3 right down into home life. And shows something here that is going to last forever. It's the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Then we come to chapter 5. You'll notice that here he's speaking to elders. And he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And then again he reminds them of something in the future that will never wear out. A crown that's going to be given to the man who is the elder. Mind you, I would say at the present time, this is one of the most difficult tasks that a man could have. It's to be a shepherd of God's people. A man that leads the flock. A man that will seek to shepherd the saints. It's not an easy work. Not an easy work. Mind you, dear brother, I want to say tonight that this is a work that only God can fit a man for. Over the which, says Paul, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. That is, it's the Holy Ghost that produces men like this. They're not manufactured overnight, you know. Oh, it takes years at times to produce men with shepherd hearts for God's people. And men that can feed the flock of God. But Peter wants to encourage them. He says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Oh, it may be a difficult task on earth. It may be an arduous work. It may cost the man of God sleepless nights and tears in his eyes and many a heavy heart as he thinks of the saints he seeks to lead and nourish. Oh, but Peter wants to encourage these dear men. He says, when the chief shepherd shall appear. Here's the chief shepherd. What's he coming with? He's coming with a crown. And he's coming with a crown that fadeth not away. Oh, dear brother, tonight, if you're finding the work difficult, if you're finding the work very arduous, lift your thought tonight and your eye to a coming day when the chief shepherd shall place upon your head a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Things that won't wear out. Oh, should we not set our heart more upon these things? The world is transient. It's passing. It's a disappointment. The world has nothing for the Christian. God has everything for him. These are the things that God wants us to set our hearts on. May he bless this simple word for his name's sake.